Good morning. Welcome to the middle of the week. Let's take some time here at the start of the day with God, opening up his Bible and saying, God, speak to me through the words that are in the Bible. And we're looking at the book of Romans and learning from it. And here at the beginning of the book of Romans, Paul is just mounting a case for why every person in the world needs Jesus Christ and his righteousness in their lives, because all of us are unrighteous before God and stand guilty before God. And Paul treats it almost like a courtroom, and he brought up three witnesses. First, in chapter 1, the immoral person, and he showed that that person is without excuse before God. Then, in chapter 2, he brought up the moral person, and he showed, yeah, even they don't live up to their own standards that they pass on other people, let alone God's standards. They too stand condemned before God. And then in the last part of chapter 2, he talked about the religious person. It's as if he brought that person up on the stand, and he showed that that person thinks that they're privileged because they've been exposed to the Bible, and they are religious, they have their religious activities, they're involved in church and the requirements of church, and they think that gives them an up on other people. And Paul says, no, it only makes you more responsible if you've been exposed to more, that your outward religious activities have nothing to do with your standing before God. The question is, has your heart been changed by the Spirit of God? If not, then the religious person also stands condemned before God. He starts off chapter 3 by saying, then what advantage has the Jew? What good is it to be religious? Or what is the benefit of circumcision, that outward symbol of being a Jew? He says, great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. They were God's special people. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found to be a liar, as it is written, that you might be justified in your words and might prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? The God who inflicts wrath, his righteous anger, is not unrighteous, is he? I'm speaking in human terms. May it never be, for otherwise how will God judge the world? But if through my lie the truth of God abounded to his glory, why am I also still being judged as a sinner? If when I sin and God judges me for it, it reveals God's holiness and righteousness, then how is that bad? And why not say, as we are slanderously reported and some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come? Their condemnation is just. What then? Are we Jews, are we religious people, better than others? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. And Paul is like now summing up his big argument that everyone stands in need of God's righteousness. And he pulls together a whole bunch of Old Testament quotes to prove it. Listen, as it is written in the Old Testament, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God, that is, without God moving them first. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Listen, Paul is describing us, and he's saying, no matter who you are, good or bad, religious or unreligious, you need what God has done for you in the person of Jesus Christ. I'm John North.